I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, nice flag.
Thank you.
Okay, so
roll call.
Yes. May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here, once I get off mute, sorry.
That's okay. I see Councilmember Stout is joining. I need to unmute her. Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember Nelson?
Here.
Councilmember Page?
Here.
All councils present.
Okay, so a couple of rules. First of all, everybody that's watching must keep their machines on mute and no video during the meeting. No public testimony will be taken. And any council member wishing to speak, please raise your hand and wait to be called upon. So Aaron, you don't have video?
There you are.
You are? Okay, we're good. We're good. You're here. Okay, so we have a proclamation, and we do this every year, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and it was in your packet, so hopefully you read it. So is there anybody that would like to approve the agenda? Councilmember Deedy?
I make a motion that we approve the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So there was a... we now have to approve the consent agenda. Councilmember Deedy?
I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So since there be no public comments, we did have a couple comments that would be added to the minutes. We have no public hearings. So the next item on the agenda is the ordinance granting City of Tacoma a non-exclusive franchise to construct, maintain, operate, replace, and repair a water system within public rights of way of the city. Mr. Botcher. Mr. Botcher?
I'm here. thank you, Mayor. We've been working on this for quite a while. Actually, our current franchise is 50 years old and expired in January, but we've been working on this for a good portion of 2019. Scott Hannes has been, and Eileen Kiefer of Madrona Law Group have been the primary negotiators on this franchise. This is a little different than some of the franchises that we've worked on in the past. Primarily because Tacoma's facilities are quite different than what you would experience with gas lines that run through most of our streets or telecommunication lines that are almost on every street. Whereas I'm going to bring up an exhibit here. Let's see, I've got to share my screen here first. Hold on. not sure why it's not coming up here, but can you see that's the council action bill, but can you see that?
No, it's not showing up.
Okay. So the only things that seem to show up is what is on this screen. Anyway,
Seth, are you using two screens?
No. I have a map of the city and wanted to show how it goes across the city. But it's not popping up on the little window when you click share a screen, but I have it.
Yeah, if it's open on the other screen, you have to drag it over to the screen that you're running Zoom on. And then you can share it and it'll show.
So I have it. And I'm going to try that. There it is. Thank you. Thank you.
It's still not showing up though.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Thank you. Right. I've got to make this bigger. Hold on. Okay. Zooming out a little bit. Well, that's out over here. Here's the Howard Hanson Dam right out here. So the major regional water main comes down this way and comes through Black Diamond, something like this red line. I'm going to zoom in on this red line here. Whoa! So it comes into the city. This is out by our water tank, is right in this area. This might clear up here in a bit. So this is where the John Henry Mine is. Mm-hmm. And there's a wetland here. Here's that little white dot right there is our water tank. So this major pipeline comes right past our water tank. We have an inner tie in this area. Comes down along the north side of Lawson Hill Estates and goes across the one public road in the city here between Roberts Drive and Ravensdale. Then it goes across the Palmer Coke and Coal gravel pit and then across Lake Sawyer Road. You may not know, but this portion of Lake Sawyer Road is actually in King County. So our public right-of-way ends right about here. And then it parallels our right-of-way, but is outside of our right-of-way in this area and then goes to the west. So the only portion of public right-of-way that where the pipe crosses public water right-of-way in the city is right here. Okay, does that make sense? Just north of the triangle.
Long pipeline road there?
Yep, right. All right. I'm going to, now I need to turn this off. Oh, stop share. Okay. I'm back. So some things to understand here, this is different, is that where we will have future right-of-ways, the city of Tacoma already has pre-existing exclusive rights that they purchased and paid a lot of money for. So they already have basically a right-of-way of their own and have the right to have that pipe there. Where this franchise comes in, though, we still have to make arrangements of, okay, how are we going to do business within where they have rights and where we have rights? We have to negotiate that. This is different than another company that's coming in. It has no rights and wants to put facilities within our public right of way. Also, Tacoma Water Line, it's a regional facility. The cost per foot is very expensive. So it wouldn't be very good public policy for us to require them to move their water main as we would, say, a gas line if it was in the way of where we wanted to put a water line or we wanted to put our storm drainage facilities. If there was a conflict, our rights would prevail. However, with this regional facility at a very high cost per foot, it wouldn't make good public policy sense for us to require them to move that facility for something that is maybe 1/10 or 1/50 of the cost of their pipeline. This franchise also needs to be completed before we can proceed with our pending amendment number 2 to our wholesale contract. That provides us with a benefit of providing more capacity on the west side of our city. Right now, all of our sources are in our source, our intertie, all our storage is on the east side of the city. So to make a more robust water system, our system would function much better, it would work better with better reliability if we can get an intertie on the west side of our city. So those are some of the kind of the major differences of what we're dealing with in this franchises compared to maybe some other franchises. So one, what we agreed to was a cost share should we ever require the city require to move or have them relocate a portion of their water main. And we would pay 40% and they would pay 60%. We debated about that number for a while, but ultimately they agreed that understanding the cost of their facility, that paying 40% of any relocation would be incentive enough for us to look for every possible alternative. So they agree it makes financial sense. I think the public is protected from with that type of a cost share. The other difference is there is a 50% cost share on road restoration for major projects. Now, typically when Puget Sound Energy would, or CenturyLink would make a cut across the road, they would have to pay 100% of those costs of patching the road. In this case, this is a recognition of the, basically a recognition of their pre-existing right. And that they're willing to share in the cost, but not make 100% of that, give up all of their current existing rights. It makes some interesting implications, and they're going to have a say in where our future road right-of-ways, the alignment of our future road right-of-ways, namely the pipeline road and the North Connector. So the one thing we know that they're probably not going to allow is the pipeline road to lay entirely right on top of their water main the whole way. This franchise also, we wouldn't want that either, because now we're increasing the chances of at some point having to pay a 50% road restoration if they had some major repairs or something. So that also is some built-in incentive on the alignment of the future road that they want us to cross the pipeline at an angle or at 90 degrees so that there is the least amount of conflicts. And that makes sense for both of us. So anyway, that's some background of how we came to where we are on this franchise. This is a first reading. If you have questions about specific language in the franchise, please send me an email and we'll give you a thoughtful response. So rather than the public, I reviewed the franchise with the members of the Public Works Committee. We went through the language in more detail, and potentially we may do that again, although it's not on our agenda. But with that, that's all I have.
David?
Just chiming in for a moment here, for members of the council who have not been through a franchise approval process before, it's a little bit of a quirky process because unlike most of the stuff that you normally take up, state law actually requires two separate council touches. You can't approve it the first time it's brought before you. So, and that's why this is being presented as a first reading, simply to comply with state law requirements that you get two chances to look at it before you say yes or no. And like Seth, I thought did a very good job of explaining, one of the key reasons why we're bringing this forward now is because the current franchise is expired, so we need to get a new one in place. And it's also a key hurdle, if you will, to getting Tacoma's agreement to allow a second intertie on the west side of town. So it is an important step for the city to be able to get that redundant water source connection to the west side of town. And then I'll go back on mute unless you have questions.
Councilmember Deedy.
So as Seth stated, the Public Works Committee did meet through Zoom and discuss this franchise. And one of the things that we did discuss quite in length was the cost sharing. So it makes sense. At the beginning, it didn't really make sense why we were having to cost share if they were ripping up something and then we had to help pay that. But in the end, it does make sense. And maybe Seth, you could talk a little bit more about that. But it just, you know, it was a little confusing at first. But now it kind of makes sense.
I'm glad. I'd be glad to go over that. The there's two cost shares. One is related to relocation, and that would be 40% on the part of the city, 60% on the part of Tacoma. That's basically in recognition of the type of facility that we're dealing with and being just a good public policy to not relocate something that's $100 a foot compared to something that's $1,000 a foot. It's much cheaper for us to go under, around, or over or than require the relocation of that type of facility. So the incentive is there for us to design around that. Now, that's not to say it cannot be moved. And if there was such a facility where I haven't been able to come up with a type of facility that would be required within the road right-of-way that would warrant the relocation of the pipeline. But if there was such a thing, there we wouldn't have to pay for all of that relocation. The other cost share is the road restoration, and that was at 50%. For small things, or they're replacing an air vac, or they cover all the cost. It's for larger projects, then, and they're incurring more cost to patch and rehabilitate the roadway, where previously, before any road dedications, they had full rights over the whole 100 feet, pre-existing rights. So that means that we just need to, for one, limit the work out with them of how can we minimize the areas of where we need right-of-ways and where we need to cross to minimize that potential conflict of our road and their maintenance activities. I hope that helps.
Thank you, Member Wisnowski.
Does our percentage of responsibility change depending on who requests the, let's say they need to move a pipe for, or they need to move something for their reasons. Does our amount change, or are we still at 50-50 for large stuff in the road, or?
No, that's a good question. It, if they're relocating their pipe, we don't owe a share anything in the cost of the relocation. We may share on the just the road restoration portion. So it's just the patching, the portion of the that expense. So that's small in comparison to the pipe itself.
Okay. So it's in our best interest to keep our roads off the top of there.
Yeah. And that's what they really are. That's, yeah, they're concerned about that. They, there's one other, if a private developer wants to, and this actually has come up in the potential roundabout at State Route 169 and Roberts Drive. The pipe on the bank is too shallow for the roundabout and would need to be lowered. Whereas this is a developer project, the developer will need to cover the expense of lowering that pipeline.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Seth.
Do you have any further questions, anybody? We will continue this presentation then at our next meeting, because it has to be presented twice. Do we have any department reports? Did anybody want to give a department report? Don't see anyone. So I had a couple of things I wanted to bring up under the mayor's report. So I just want to kind of get your consensus on this. We're moving the Tri-City meeting to the last week of September on September 30th. Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
We do not want to be holding a Tri-City meeting in May. So you're all okay with that?
Good. Yep. Unless there's a way to meet digitally.
Pardon me?
Is there also an opportunity for us to convene online in a platform like this as well?
It's possible, but it's a lot of people, and there usually is a lot of people in the audience. We might use up our 100 people.
Yeah, and that meeting has a lot of non-meeting advantages to it, right? I mean, that's a lot of meeting your fellow representatives from your neighboring cities and kind of building those relationships, and it's a lot of that small talk and the kind of between things and before and after. So it'd be bad to miss that, right? That's a lot about building the allegiances.
Exactly. Yes, I agree with you. And then I signed a letter. I don't know if anybody saw it. I signed a letter with the mayor of Kent, with 10 mayors signed on to ask for the governor to gradually open construction so that we could get back to earning some money. And last week, David and Barb and I worked with AWC and some of the builders to try to work out what would that look like. And we're hoping that we can have some conversation with the governor at some point in time to try to solidify what that would look like. And so we're anticipating that in the next couple of weeks before we get to May 4th, that there will be some more discussions on how this will look. But there's a lot of cities that aren't getting any money from the federal government or the state government, including us, that we would like to at least look at gradually opening up construction safely for our community. So anyway, that's one of the things that we've been looking at. And that's kind of the end of my report. So Councilmember Deedy, did you have a report?
I do. So I attended, all these are via Zoom. So the WIRA 9 orientation for new appointees on the board. So I attended that on April 16th. I also attended the planning committee meeting on April 17th, the public works meeting that Seth just spoke about. And then I also, a few things I've done on the side. The mayor had asked for a list of businesses within the city of Black Diamond that is still serving food. This is right at the time that we had all the closures. So I made that list for her and she put it on the city website, so everybody knows which businesses in Black Diamond have still food for people to pick up. And I've been trying to share everything that gets posted on the city website onto Black Diamond Residents or the Community of Black Diamond page and on my own page, just so that people get a heads up. So I'm trying to do that. I sent an email to Seth Botcher and the mayor about the wood piles out on Railroad Avenue, and you know, thinking maybe with along with her letter to Governor Inslee with the other cities to see if we could get that. Also one of the things that could go out there and start getting the bid for that and getting that cleaned up. And Mayor Benson said that at this time, which is right, is that clearing grading permits and such have not opened up yet, and that as soon as those do, then those wood piles will also be looked at as hopefully as top priority to get rid of. I do have, you know, we've gotten a lot of public comments in and just on, so that everybody is no surprises like we like to not have. I would like to just share my email that I just sent to Jason. He was the first one, so there's no speculation or what I might have said or didn't say. So I'd like to read that really quick. So I said to Jason, I had heard as well that Councilmember Wisnowski and Councilmember Nelson both attended the Olympia rally that had over 2,500 in attendance. As I watched the coverage of this rally on the news and from Councilmember Nelson's home video that he posted on his Facebook page, I was disgusted to see what looked like no precaution had taken place, no masks, people were not adhering to the 6 feet or more distancing, and no gloves. I also worried about all of our first responders who might now have to care for some of these people who attended this rally. The ripple effect is very dangerous. As our own city government, Black Diamond, strives to make sure all of our employees are safely working from home, and the city is asking residents to follow the governor's directive, I just don't understand how two council members can then go out and do the opposite of what their city is asking its citizens and staff to adhere to. And I'm not sure if council can remove the two appointed members from their position. And when council is back in session, a discussion will need to be had. And I have sent this email to our attorney and Mayor Benson. So I'll leave it at that. That's what I said. That's the only comment I've made on anything. So I'll leave that, and my report is done.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yes, I also attended the Zoom meeting with Councilmember De Leon and Dee Dee on the 17th, I believe you mentioned, for our committee meetings. Other than that, just been at home working in the garden and tending to my shop the best I can. So that is that.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Well, I'm still working full time. So we haven't had any of the committee meetings that I'm on Zoom yet. So we haven't had any of those committee meetings. I'm not going to get into the political BS that's going on right now. This is not what our citizens need. They want council members that, they don't want the drama. So I'm not going to get into it. People have the right to say what they want. I was well within my First Amendment rights. I didn't go as a representative of the city. I don't think anybody there knows that I'm on city council besides a handful of my friends that were there. I followed precautions while I was there. I wore a mask and I tried to keep my distance as much as possible. There were numerous other elected officials there. The number is actually probably closer to 4,000 people there and another 1,000 to 1,500 people driving. I was very surprised to see that many people there. We have a lot of people who live paycheck to paycheck who are suffering right now and they need to get back to work. And our state still doesn't have a plan. And that's disappointing because we should have a plan by now. That's why I was there, to hear what these plans were from these other elected officials that are state reps to get the state working again. And why are our why did we cancel fishing season? Why? There are many things that I disagree with, but I went there to listen to what the plan would be to get us open. And the plan is to take precautions and open slowly, but that's more of a plan than what we've heard from the governor so far. I welcome everybody's opinion. I'm glad that people feel that they can comment, but I went there to listen and to give my personal voice, not as a representative of the city. And at no time did I represent the city or infer that I represented the city or anything of that. So actually I didn't speak. I was simply there kind of in the background. So, besides that, I've been working on my garden.
Council Member Stout.
Mayor, we did go a little bit out of order. Councilmember Page was supposed to go first, so
I'm wondering if he did last time. We didn't change. We forgot to change the order.
We didn't change the order. Okay. I'll just say that I, early on, just before the kind of shutdown, if you want to call it that, occurred, there was a finance committee meeting that I was supposed to attend, and I didn't feel comfortable really sitting down in that room. So I darted in, grabbed my packet, signed my paper, got a little bit of information from May about one of the points that she had, a little bit of an unusual financial transaction that we were going to talk about. And then I took my packet home and reviewed it on my own. So I kind of darted in and darted out of that meeting. And then I attended the Zoom Public Works discussion about the Tacoma Water franchise. I also today signed a letter to the governor that came out from AWC. Candace Box sent it to us. And all of you elected officials have the opportunity to sign that letter if you so desire, just asking the governor to be cognizant of the needs of cities as funding packages come through. And I would like to read a statement pertaining to some things that have been going on in the city and on the council. I've received, and I will send this statement to Brenda so it can be included in the record. I've received several emails regarding Council Members Nelson and Wisnowski's participation in a Sunday, April 19th rally to protest Governor Inslee's stay-at-home order. While every citizen has the right to exercise his freedom of speech and his right to assemble, I'm disappointed that these council members decided to ignore the governor's order implemented to protect our healthcare system from becoming overwhelmed, as it has been in other areas of the country and the world. One aspect of government is to protect public health. There is an infrastructure, including enforced isolation and quarantine, in place to do so. When a public health crisis emerges, such as an influenza epidemic, polio, an outbreak of tuberculosis, severe acute respiratory syndrome, or other infectious diseases, these resources are activated to protect the community. You can go to doh.wa.gov and look up isolation and quarantine guidelines to see what the authority is of the state to implement those measures. Some have decided that the government has overreached their authority or have some nefarious underlying purpose. I do not buy into these conspiracy theories. As the mother of two sons working as registered nurses caring for coronavirus patients, and a daughter who has been desperately ill, I hope our community would show respect for these interventions. Some have called for Council Members Nelson and Wisnowski to be removed from the council or for them to resign their seats. I do not think that is necessary, but I hope they will apologize to Mayor Benson for disrespect of her affirmation of the governor's stay-at-home proclamation and to the community for participating in potential spread of this disease. I expect Black Diamond City Council to move forward with the work of the city and the best interest of the residents. That's the end of my report.
Councilmember De Leon.
Your mute button's on.
It was, thank you. Yes, thank you. So I did attend the two committee meetings already for Public Works and for Planning. I'm also going to throw out an additional resource that can help additional Black Diamond and Maple Valley businesses, which is that the Chamber of Commerce has also been curating a lot of really great information that can help support not only the restaurants that desperately need our patronage, but additional businesses as well in our community. So I think that's a really good opportunity for those looking to make sure that they're supporting local businesses to look into what the Chamber of Commerce is providing. I've otherwise been navigating, you know, trying to keep up with checking in on our residents, checking in with all of the daily updates to city functions, while also maintaining a job as an essential worker in a, you know, customer facing position and understanding the risks that come with that work. So it's been a very interesting time, to say the least, to be on the council for that. I'm also going to mention that our US senators, especially Senator Murray, as well as our Representative Kim Schreier, have also been pushing a lot in the other Washington to get additional funding for our small cities. And I think us adding our voices to making sure that Black Diamond and our neighboring cities continue to get support during the coronavirus pandemic, that we continue to do so. And also, so that's a little bit of what I think I would add on. I am also going to continue by adding an additional statement to, I guess, first respond to what I just heard tonight. I'm hoping that also what we've heard from Councilmember Stout is this isn't about political drama or some political BS. It's not that people don't want the drama. It's just they don't want the coronavirus. And I think to that effect, I am going to be reading a statement that I just published in light of that fact, because I do want us to hear a lot of what has been on my mind, as I find that the attendance of this protest to be deeply disturbing and contrary to the values and even agreement that we as council members set out to espouse. It has come to my attention that two appointed council members, Patrick Nelson and Chris Wisnowski, decided to protest in Olympia on Sunday, April 19th, directly defying common sense stay home, stay healthy orders. These public health orders are intended to keep us safe during a pandemic and to slow the spread of a dangerous disease for which there is currently no vaccine or cure. Virologists, epidemiologists, nurses, doctors, and other public workers and experts are imploring us to stay home and to limit our trips to essential outings because of the fear that they will not be able to handle all the cases coming their way. We've seen surreal and tragic scenes of death and chaos in other parts of the world and in our country because of the sudden spike in COVID-19 cases. It is because of Governor Inslee's swift actions and the actions of so many other local governments, including ours, that we have not yet seen these same horrific scenes in our state. Indeed, our own city's employees are following the same orders to stay home and work remotely because of this shared understanding that we want to protect as many lives as we can so that our city can be back up and ready for business sooner rather than later. Patrick Nelson and Chris Wisnowski signed a joint council letter agreeing to do the same and to lead by example, and yet these actions made a mockery of those words. These two council members' decisions, appointed council members' decisions to protest on Sunday, April 19th, by congregating in large gatherings and by flagrantly defying CDC guidelines on social distancing, was an act of violence against untold numbers of people in and around Black Diamond, and indeed in Washington State. Their actions have ultimately endangered our lives, and their actions have emboldened others to participate in other activities that continue to undo our hard work. Patrick Nelson and Chris Wisnowski are not fit to serve or represent our community and should no longer claim to be doing so as members of the Black Diamond City Council. I call on fellow Black Diamond Council members to join me and members of our community in demanding that Chris Wisnowski and Patrick Nelson step down from the offices that they are filling, but not by the will of the people, but by application and appointment. I strongly desire that we do not have to pursue legal action, as I understand the painful history this city has already had with such moves. But it is clear from the reasons just stated why we need to recognize the harmful impact of allowing individuals on this dais who have put their egos and their politics ahead of public health and safety. I have been trying to publish helpful resources on my own social media pages as I've made aware of them. I've tried to check in with our neighbors. I have been one of the many who have been trying to promote small businesses and charities in any way we can, including encouraging the efforts of the local Black Diamond and Maple Valley Chamber of Commerce's efforts to support our local businesses. Local officials, including our governor's office and our state legislators and their offices, have been doing remarkable work informing constituents and working with other governmental bodies to provide ongoing assistance to as many people as possible, including but not limited to financial support for businesses. As a council member, I work directly with these offices to try to find ways to get inspections for unoccupied homes open so that people who bought homes in Black Diamond could be able to move into them. I commend the work of our state legislators and city employees and thank the mayor for our efforts to make sure that the people stay housed during this crisis. It's one thing to speak out in protest when we can do them in ways that support mitigating the disastrous effects of a global pandemic whose origin in our country was in our state. It is understandable to feel frustrated and to grieve the loss of activities we enjoy and to feel fear over financial uncertainty. But it is another thing entirely when expressing these opinions comes at the cost of spreading a deadly disease. We are endangering the very lives, liberties, and opportunities to pursue happiness in the future that others in our community yearn for just as much as we have sworn to serve and represent. To be crystal clear, I did not vote for either of them to be appointed. Patrick Nelson was appointed a few months before I was elected and 2 months after I filed to run for this office, after the council made a decision to amend the city charter and add these additional seats before they were required to. As for Chris Wisnowski, I ran against and defeated him in November 2019, and I was the sole no vote against his reappointment when another qualified applicant had also answered the call to service. I vouched for the other applicant to be the one welcomed onto this open seat, who has numerous strong qualifications as a professional as an engaged citizen that a city many times the size of ours would have been proud to have as our leader. To this day, I will contend this individual would have been a choice that would have made our city proud. This means that I cannot speak for the fellow council members who made different decisions, and I'm asking them to show responsibility for their votes. It is time for my fellow council members, Dee Dee, Oglesby, Stout, and Page, along with Mayor Benson, to step up and lead by example. It is time for us to pursue action to remove Wisnowski and Nelson from office and show the people we represent that we do not stand for reckless behavior that endangers Black Diamond in our neighboring communities. To Wisnowski and Nelson, even if you apologize for your dangerous actions or if you delete your posts, sorry is far from sufficient when you know full well that participating in an event that was called Hazardous Liberty, with people touting signs with such slogans as Give Me Liberty or Give Me COVID-19, is not enough. Never again do I want to hear that you care about the well-being of the people who live in this city, about first responders, or about anything more than your egos, when I've heard nothing from you in your city correspondence and now I see you just resurfacing in a mass protest in Olympia. I've seen the pictures and videos showing you were marching and standing next to the neo-Nazi and Confederate flag-waving individuals. That in itself is contemptible and shows even greater disregard for some of the most marginalized and vulnerable people in our community, including but not limited to Asian Americans facing a documented spike in hate crimes directed against them due to the racist language used about the origins of the coronavirus. Perhaps you will both say you don't agree with the ideology of these kinds of groups, but when you directly and literally stand with the Proud Boys, the neo-Nazis, and the Confederate flag wavers and similar groups in solidarity, it leaves us to no other conclusion that your actions speak louder than your words at the dais. My fellow Black Diamond residents, I urge you to join me in this call for council members Wisnowski and Nelson to be stripped of their appointments by calling your council members and the mayor's office. Knowing that I will do everything in my power to ensure our city suffers the embarrassment of being represented by these reckless ideologues no longer, I do need your help. And in the meantime, stay home, stay safe, stay healthy, Black Diamond. And that's the end of my report.
Councilmember Nelson.
I'll just leave the bullying alone. Here's the thing.
Could you turn your sound up a little bit?
Can I just talk louder?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. My report, I've been working with the Black Diamond and Maple Chamber of Commerce. I'm an essential worker as well. I work with first responders every day. The interesting thing about the one step below defamation attack is one thing. We did what we did. I did go to the rally. I wasn't with no neo-Nazis or anything like that. This has really been blown out of proportion. I actually went, and there was actually a big group of pastors I was there with. That picture is not being talked about. There was also a lot of doctors and nurses there speaking about their opinion on how to make things work better. There's a lot of people there. I agree. But I think that the last comment read speaks volumes. And I think that my involvement in the city for the past 15, 16 years speaks for itself. I will still fight with the city, do everything I can with the city. I'm still going to be working with local businesses. I'm still working with first responders. I'm not going to allow this to waver me. We haven't had any public safety meetings. I do a Zoom meeting with local pastors every week. And I'm excited to be here, you guys. I think that at the end of the day, we've got one of the best cities in the country, and I'm glad to serve here. Thank you.
Councilmember Page.
Well, my report consists of, I did attend the finance committee meeting that Aaron referred to. It's been so long, I can't even pull the specific date off the top of my head. But it was the last one I think we had. Really glad that we're coming together using this medium to conduct business as a city council. I think it's really important that we keep the city moving forward. I guess the one thing I would say is I work for a company that we shut down for the first 2 weeks of the governor's order. even though we didn't have to. We support essential customers in medical devices, pharmaceuticals, security, and several other industries. But we did that kind of as our sign of support for bending the curve. Excuse me. And we've since developed guidelines where we have staggered work schedules, where we've reduced the amount of people in the building so that we can promote better social distancing. We require masks and gloves and daily sanitation procedures. And I believe that we're protecting our employees while still supporting those essential parts of our community and society, really. So that's been where most of my time has been dedicated, is to trying to develop those procedures and provide a safe work environment for our employees. And I would normally probably stop my report there, but since I've been called to express my opinion or rebuke fellow council members, I would simply say this, that I don't know anything about the other two's political or beliefs regarding you know, Nazism and all those other allegations. I do believe, though, that in my opinion, them attending an event like that was disrespectful to the city's stated position. It does contradict the document that they signed as well as I signed. But I also believe in the First Amendment rights, and I don't believe that as a city council, we would have any legal basis to force their removal from the city council. Now, I'm not a lawyer, and we have one in the room, so it might be good for his commentary on that, but what I would say is that I think it was in poor choice. I don't think that some of the allegations that Councilmember De Leon associated to them is fair. And while I would, I guess, to use your term, rebuke them or ask them to consider the implications of what they did and what that means to the city's reputation, I would also say your comments, in my opinion, were in poor taste and stepped over the line. So I'm not going to get into any more than that, other than to say we have business in the city to conduct, and let's focus on conducting the city business and not get involved in tarnishing other people for difference in political opinions. That's my opinion. So that's all I want to say on that. And I'm done. That's the end of my report.
Do we have an attorney's report?
Yes, Mayor. Just about half an hour before this meeting began, we received a decision from our hearing examiner. On, as you may recall, there was a plat hearing and a SEPA appeal related to one of the new subdivisions being applied for out in Ten Trails, that's called Plat 2D. That hearing and appeal proceeding took place in early March. We received the decision today, and the hearing examiner adopted, well, I only had about 20 minutes or so to skim through it. It's a 47-page, very detailed decision. But from my initial skimming of the document, It appears that the examiner adopted the staff, your staff's recommendations for approval subject to 51 separate conditions that the developer will be required to comply with. These are the conditions that were proposed by the staff, some of which were also agreed to by Oak Point. And the decision, the hearing examiner also denied the SEPA appeal brought by a group called Save Black Diamond, who has been involved with some prior appeals. So that appeal was denied. The hearing examiner adopted the staff's recommendations and conditions. And so now that there is an opportunity for reconsideration for appeal, if anybody wants to pursue that, if the appellants wanted to pursue that. But otherwise, the plat will presumably proceed towards a final plat approval in some months from now, assuming we have construction that can begin again at some point, and the infrastructure that needs to be built between now and final plat can actually get built. So.
Okay, well, we have no executive session, so I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Meeting adjourned.